Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The real simplicity of our existence, despite what it can and often becomes about, is that we were created in God. Out of a place of intimacy, we are really the fruit of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, an overflow of who they are. And the reason why he created us was to enjoy us. Do we understand that in our hearts this morning, that we were birthed for pleasure, for joy? And then from a place of intimacy and oneness with him, we were born to mature, to bear fruit that lasts, fruit that changes the world around us for his glory and for his kingdom. And that's basically the thread of the message I want to share this morning. And so let's just open our hearts. I'm going to look into three different areas this morning that I felt the Lord show me while I was preparing. The first area is fruitlessness. Okay. The second area is fruit without his seed in it, seed or fruit that cannot last. And the third area is fruit with his seed in it, fruit that lasts. And I'm going to quickly just touch on those three areas, and then we're going to expound quite a bit just so that we feel that we've heard this morning just what the Lord wants to say. So fruitlessness. When we are found outside of Jesus, we cannot bear fruit. We are fruitless. Actually, the word says that our works are like filthy rags. The reason is that we are not in relationship with the Father outside of Jesus. We need to be born of the seed of Jesus in order to be reconciled to our Father. Fruit without his seed in it. Fruit that cannot and does not last. Even in a place of being found in Jesus, we can produce a measure of fruit with our own giftings, our own talents, things that we bring that the Lord has put in us anyway. But outside of him, outside of his presence, we can bear fruit. Okay, this fruit does not have his seed in it. It has no enduring kingdom benefit. There's the difference between fruit with seed in it and fruit that doesn't. Fruit with seed in it has his kingdom enduring benefit in it. It will go and it will produce. Fruit without his seed in it will come to an end. Ishmael is a shadow or a type of this type of fruit. Okay, Ishmael was the fruit of Abraham and his maidservant Hagar. Okay, in the same form as Isaac, as you'll see. If Isaac and Ishmael were standing here this morning, none of us would know the difference. Can you just see how powerful the difference is by having the seed of promise that Isaac had in his life and the seed of promise that was not in Ishmael's life? Ishmael was a product of man's purpose. Fruit with his seed in it, fruit that lasts, has his divine grace, his divine power and strength and ability to last and to thrive. It has an ability to change. It has an ability to influence the kingdom around us. And this fruit can only be birthed from a place of intimacy with God. The natural created world that we live in is paralleled after the spiritual realm that God lives in. And we can learn a lot about the spiritual realm by simply observing the natural realm. And even Jesus spoke in parables, and he taught on natural principles to help us understand spiritual things. And he says in John 3:12, he's having a conversation with Nicodemus and saying, "You've got to be born again." And Nicodemus is not understanding. Born again? Must I enter my mother's womb again? And Jesus says, if you can't understand natural principles, how are you going to understand the spiritual? Okay, so it's very important that we do see the parallel between the natural and the spiritual. If we look at Genesis 1:11 in our Bibles, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to quickly just reference this point. It's the context is creation. God has created the heavens and the earth. He has spoken them into being. He's created light. He's created the sky. And we pick up in 1:11 what he continues to do on day 3. And God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. 2 points I want you to just consider. Seed-bearing plants, there were no plants or trees made without seed in them. Okay, and the second thing is, according to their various kinds. Okay, apple trees produce apples, and orange trees produce oranges. You can't change that. All right, so I'm just going to expound a little bit on no fruit, fruitlessness. Okay, the moment that Adam and Eve took off the fruit that of the tree that Jesus, well, God warned them about and said, do not touch of that. The reason why there was a choice is that there needs to be a choice with authentic relationship. Okay, God gave Adam and Eve free will in the garden, free will to choose him or to reject him. There could not be authentic relationship between God and man without choice. Okay, we know the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. They took off this tree. And in that moment of disobeying God, a number of things happened. They no longer knew intimacy with God, the Father. They had walked with him. They only knew intimacy with the Father until that point. Okay? They no longer knew intimacy with the Father only. Their eyes were awakened to, they took in a different kind of seed, an evil kind of seed, the seed of Satan. Okay? Sin entered this world and it entered all of creation. And intimacy between God and man was severed and marred. Scripture teaches us that each one of us sitting here today was born in the line of Adam. Okay, we were born in sin, separated from God, and we needed a savior. We needed to be born of the seed of Jesus. We were born of corruptible and perishable seed in Adam, and we needed to be born of incorruptible and imperishable seed in Jesus. That's the security of our salvation. Incorruptible, imperishable. Just a few scriptures to help us there is Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and that was Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all because all sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In this place we cannot bear kingdom fruit. We are unable to bear kingdom fruit. We cannot bear the fruit of Jesus' kind. As I said, an apple tree can't produce oranges. Okay, let's expound a little bit on fruit without his seed in it, fruit that cannot last. In Jesus alone, we are reconciled back to the Father. We are reconciled into a place of intimacy, and it's always been his heart. Jesus did not come to die for sin. Jesus came to die for the sin in you and me, because it was the sin in you and me that separated us from God. It's a very, very important thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I.e. to spend eternity reconciled back to the Father. Again, just two scriptures to help us here. Romans 5:10. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Romans 5:19. For just as through the disobedience of one man, Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. As we stand in the 21st century, the majority of commercial fruit is not produced by the sowing of seed. There are many fruits today that do not have seed in them. Okay, and there are a number of reasons why fruit doesn't have seed in them, but I'm going to say the biggest reason, main reason, is that mankind has intervened. He's bypassed the natural process of fertilization by pollinization, which we can call intimacy in the plant world, and introduce genetic engineering. Okay, fruit is consumer driven. If the world wants clementines, man does his level best to produce as many clementines as fast as he possibly can that have the most that are the most appealing to man, and that are convenient to eat by taking out the seeds, and that have the longest shelf life. Okay, that is the reason behind the drive of producing fruit in the world. Fruit was designed by God to be produced naturally. God's original blueprint of sustaining this planet was producing plant with seed in it, with trees that produce fruit with seed in it, and those seeds were the ability for the plants to reproduce, and so on and so on. And in the animal kingdom, a male animal and a female animal come together and we have fruit. We have a baby animal which grows up to an adult animal, and so on. Something that just amazes me is that after day three in creation, where we see God creating vegetation, God did not make another tree. After day five and six of creation, God did not make another animal. Okay, he put in them everything that they required to reproduce, to grow up and reproduce. The potential and the ability he put inside of them was everything that they needed to continue. But it would be by sovereign grace, obviously. Okay, sovereign grace and design. So the point here is that man can produce fruit out of his own efforts, okay, out of a place of intimacy with God. Kingdom fruit can look like, it can taste like, it can feel like, I'm sorry, not kingdom fruit, fruit without seed in it, man's fruit, can look everything like kingdom fruit does. And there's that example with Ishmael and Isaac. If they were standing here today and we put them at the same ages, no one would know the difference. One is temporary. In 2 Timothy 3:5, Paul is talking about some difficult times ahead. And he's listing some characteristics, negative characteristics that we can expect to see in man because of the fall and those that are outside of Jesus. And he gets to the last point and he says, there will be people having the appearance of godliness or holding a form of godliness, fruit, but denying its power. Fruit birthed outside of the presence of God denies the power of God. It has an inability to change the things around it. Okay, it's also birthed out of effort, is effort. When we produce fruit in our own lives, we get tired. Over time, if you're finding you're getting burnt out in what you're doing, take a step back and stop and find out where's your source. Because if your source is yourself, you're going to run dry. Okay, we're never made to produce fruit. This is what we like. It's what we like, and we're trying to bear fruit. Okay, it's in the natural, it's very, very evident to see, but not so much when in our own lives. So fruit with his seed in it. Fruit that lasts. A seed and sperm and ovum have all the DNA, the genetic coding and the instruction determining their characteristics, which enable them to live, grow, and reproduce. From the moment a seed is sown or the moment of human conception, the seed is destined to become a tree, and that ovum and the sperm are destined to become a baby. We don't get involved. We don't need to add something to ensure our child is born with two arms and one nose, and two eyes, and that a seed would do something to make sure that it's going to produce roots and branches. Okay, there's nothing that we can add to kingdom seed. He designed it this way. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And a beautiful scripture out of Isaiah 55:10 to 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. If we come into alignment with the word of God, it has everything in it to achieve what needs to be done. We don't have to add to it. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. John 15. This is an amazing scripture which helps us understand intimacy and abiding in the vine. And I'm going to go through it and read it and just make some comments next to just some of the things to help us here this morning. And it says that, and I'm going to turn and face it, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. Notice it doesn't say, I am the vine. There are other vines in this world that are vying for our attention and affection. They desire to feed us. And you know what? Our hunger can be spent on these vines. One key thing to intimacy is having a hunger and a thirst for God's presence. Are we filling ourselves up? Are we being fed by other things in this world? It's very easy. Vine gives life to the branch, okay? A branch outside of a vine, as we can see, will last. If you've cut this off, it may stay green for a little while, but it'll last as long as the life in this lasts, which is short-lived. Also, the fruit from a branch will be, from whatever the vine is, the branch will be of that kind, and the fruit of that branch will be of the same kind as the vine. And the seed in the fruit, in the branch, will be the same as the vine. Do we understand? Same kind. And my father is the gardener, okay? Gardeners tend and they care for their garden. We have a good father who tends to our lives when we abide in him. But the key is to abide in him. He can't tend to your life when you're not abiding in him. Okay, there's the free will and the choice to lay down our lives and surrender our lives. And it's not a once-off decision. Salvation is a once-off decision. But every day thereafter is a decision to abide in him. That's how we can remain immature. Is we can get saved, we can respond to Jesus, but then we're, thank you, Jesus, it's amazing. I'm going to spend eternity with you in heaven. But right now, I'm just going to go down my road on earth and enjoy what I think this life is about. And that's where we don't mature. This is a young plant. It started to bear fruit, but it takes time. I went to a nursery yesterday, and trees smaller than this didn't have any fruit. And in fact, this was one of the only ones that had it. But then another tree, I don't know how much older, but produced so much bigger fruit. It does take time. Anything of value does not happen overnight. It's a working of God inside of us. And it has to be tested. Very important. It has to be tested. And we're going to see that in Luke 8. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Okay, God is committed to cutting off the things in our lives that do not produce kingdom fruit. Okay, it may hurt, but are we surrendering to the process and saying, and literally getting before the Lord and saying, Lord, my energies, my time that is spent, these branches that I have in my life, what of them are not producing your kingdom? Cut them off. Relationships, it can be. Those things are sapping us of the life of God, and they're not producing fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay, God is continually tending to us as we abide in him. And the amazing thing is he's always doing something when we're abiding in him. So if we're not producing fruit for his kingdom, he'll help us cut that branch off. And if we are producing fruit, he's still going to prune us. One thing he doesn't do when we abide in him is leave us alone. He's always tending to us. If branches don't bear fruit, he cuts them off. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Sure, it's a very definitive word. It's a very clear word, nothing. No single thing of kingdom significance can we do outside of abiding and being in the presence of God. A key to abiding and remaining in the vine is what I've spoken about of nurturing a hunger and a thirst. And if we read in 1 Peter 2, 2-3, it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. And that word crave is yearn, dote upon, intensely crave. So that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Okay, craving has to be preceded by tasting. We can't crave something we've never tasted, because what are we craving? Okay, think about that in the natural. I can only crave ice cream if I've taken off ice cream. And it only has to happen once. You'll see it in a little baby. Get them ice cream. And I think a key is here is, have we tasted of God's goodness here this morning? Because if we haven't, we need to. Because we can't expect to hunger and thirst off of something we do not know. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Because when you look at them, they are of no value. They have no purpose. They've lost their purpose. Having come outside and having not abided in the vine, they've lost their purpose. They can produce no fruit, and they are good to really just to start a fire. If you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. When we abide in him, we come into alignment with his truth. Our prayers are his prayers. Our heart comes into alignment with his heart. And that's why he can say, when you abide in me, everything that you ask of will be done, because we are praying in accordance with his will, or we are doing things in accordance with his will. When we don't abide in him, we'll ask for things that are not of his will. And that's why they don't happen. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The ultimate reason for why we bear fruit is to bring glory to our Father in heaven. That is the reason. There's a wonderful conversation between God and Moses in Exodus 33. So God is leading the Israelites into the promised land with Moses. And Moses says to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Okay, abiding in him is being taught his ways, knowing his ways, hearing his heart, seeing what he's doing, knowing his nature. And Moses continues, remember that this nation is your people. The Lord responded, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us?" And a very, very important statement that he makes here is, "What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" The only thing that distinguishes us and all God's people on the face of the earth is his presence, his kingdom seed in us bearing fruit in his likeness. Nothing else distinguishes us. Peter and John in Acts 4:13, it's a comment that's made. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John who had just preached and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." When we abide in Jesus, people will recognize that we have been with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus will make us look like Jesus, and the fruit that we bear start to look like Jesus, and people will see the longevity in what's happening. You know, what's best described, how to best see that is, we'll get there just now, but sorry, in Acts 5:33, one of my favorite portions of scripture, it's spoken by a Pharisee, Gamaliel, and Peter and the other apostles have been arrested numerous times. But in one occasion, this Pharisee says to the group of people that are wanting to arrest them, he says to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men," and to do with this is Peter and the apostles. "Before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing." Verse 37, "After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered." 38, "So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Leave them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail." Okay, fruit without his seed in it. "But if it is God, you will not be able to stop it. You will not be able to overthrow it. You might even be finding yourself opposing or fighting God." There's the difference. And there's wisdom from a man that has not, he's a Pharisee. And yeah, it's wisdom. And I love to just see this, that someone would say, and it's wisdom to say, if this is of God, you'll be opposing God. If this is not of God, it will fail. And actually in all the things in our lives, you know what, Lord, if this is of you, it continues. If it's not of you, I lay it down. Lay everything down. He will resurrect it. Anything that's got his life in it will be resurrected. We read in Luke 8 about the soil and the seed, and it's called the parable of the sower, and we find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's very interesting to read all three of the books where this is mentioned. But I'm going to read out of Luke. And I believe that this parable speaks to us at different levels. Okay, it speaks to us at a level of salvation, where the word that is sown is salvation, is the gospel, basically. Okay, but it can also speak to us about anything that God speaks to us about, anything that requires obedience. So bear that in mind when you listen to this scripture, because particularly on the one where it's not salvation, we've got to understand that we can be mature in certain areas of our lives and be bearing great fruit, but in another area of our lives, we actually disconnected from God's plans and purposes. We have not received his word. Okay, we've had a hard heart towards a certain issue, and so we have not even received the seed in our lives related to that. So we may be a very, very generous person. We have the heart of God in giving. We don't value money on this earth. We have a heart of giving, and it's an amazing gift from God. You may have that, but you may, on the other area, where it comes to, say, healing, you don't believe that God wants to heal people on this earth. And so this promise that he's come to bring healing in every form in our bodies, in our spirits, in our souls, you just don't believe. Okay, so he's spoken a word and said, pray for the sick, lay hands on the sick, and they will be healed. So that word, let's say, has been spoken, but you, maybe because of past disappointments, have not received that word. And it's fallen on a hard heart, and the word has just fallen. It's not something that you've tried to just speak word and truth over, worship over, pray over, and step out into. So let's understand that with maturity, we're not just mature or just immature. We can have various levels in various areas of our lives. And I think the important thing is for us to come to the Lord and ask him, Lord, where is it that I'm bearing great fruit? Prune me that I might produce more fruit. Where is it that I'm not producing fruit? And that I'm very immature in my understanding of your will in this area. And in other areas where I haven't even engaged you. So Luke 8:5. Mine says a sower. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that was sown. Okay, there are 4 conditions of the heart. The soil is our heart, and the seed is the word of God. Jesus does explain this parable to the disciples, which is very helpful in Luke 8:11. And so he does say, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Okay, the path is representative of hard ground. Okay, of a heart that is not open and is not positioned to receive from God. Okay, the seed cannot take root. And for me, if we're going back to our fruitlessness, fruit without seed, and fruit with seed, this is fruitlessness. The seed has not even taken into the ground. It has inability to produce fruit. The second condition of the heart. And the ones on the rock are those, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no roots. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. Okay, this seed appears to have taken. It appears to have taken. There's an emotional response. But testing reveals that it never took. For me, this is, again, fruitlessness. At the end of the day, the seed never took. It never produced a plant that was able to produce any fruit whatsoever. And I think that can happen many times. How many times have you been in a time when you've heard a word from God and you got excited? There was something that you knew. There was something in this word that the Lord was speaking to you about. And yet, you did not nurture that. Okay, you didn't prepare your heart around it. It wasn't something that you wrote down, prayed into, the various things that we can do to take what God has said and seriously and to nurture that, to grow it. Okay, so that can happen often. I can put up my hand and say many times in my life, I've sat and I've heard something, gone, wow. And then days go by, weeks go by, months go by. And if you had to ask me today, I would not even be able to tell you what that was. And I believe it was a word of God sown and just something beautiful God was showing, like a revelation that I could have taken and made a part of who I am and what I produce today in terms of fruit. But because of my just complacency, lack of nurturing, this seed never took. The third situation, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. The interesting thing here is that pleasures can choke us. Okay, I can understand how we can see that cares of the world and worries and concerns can choke us, but pleasures can choke us. We just don't see them choking us. Their fruit does not mature. Okay, this situation, the seed is taken, vine has grown, branches have been produced, and there's been fruit, but it stays immature. And actually, immature fruit doesn't have seed. And one of the natural reasons why a fruit may not have proper seed in it is because it didn't mature. Okay, as a result of the fall, we do see these things in trees that are even sowed with seed today. Okay, so for that situation, we've heard the word. Again, we haven't nurtured it. But the word has taken root, and maybe to some level we're able to produce some level of fruit, but not to the fullness of what God intended. And it's actually it's fruit without his seed in it, because his fruit has everything in it to achieve his intended purposes. Okay, so actually with my pictures of fruitlessness, fruit without seed in it, the situation is fruit without seed in it, fruit without his seed in it. And actually really speaks of where it says, choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Out of our own striving, out of what we think we bring to God, you know, laboring after the things that we think he's called us to, and not just simply abiding, allowing his life to flow through us. A never-ending river never runs dry. His nourishment never runs dry. An eternal God. You know, the enemy does not want us to produce fruit. We always have to remember that. Something was choking those plants, okay, and it wasn't God. Okay, we have an enemy on this earth, and he desires to choke the life out of us. And what I found so interesting when I was just looking up on seed and fruit when going through the Bible is just seeing that link between when Adam and Eve disobeyed in the garden. The curses that came affected fruitfulness. They were directly related to fruitfulness. With women, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. So from the original commission, be fruitful and multiply. Did that change? No. But having children would now be accompanied with pain. Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you'll eat fruit from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. So man continued to be sustained and fed by food. There was always a promise, God made vegetation that man and animals would eat from. That didn't change. They would continue to bear fruit in order to multiply to sustain life, but thistles and thorns would now grow, okay, which would make Adam's work, which he was called to work the garden, as part of his commission and mandate, we're called to work the garden. But now it would be accompanied with basically brow sweating work. So both of those things, as a result of the fall, affected fruitfulness. Luke 8:15. And as for that in the good soil, fertile hearts, surrendered hearts, abiding in him, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. And perseverance, let's say. This is fruit with his kingdom seed in it. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will bring his kingdom purposes in our lives. For me, a key part of intimacy with God is when we look at the principle of first fruits. God gave his son, his one and only son, to us. He led the way and he taught us on first fruits. Part of intimacy with God is our first fruits to him. And if we read in Genesis 4, we read about the story of Cain and Abel. And we learn that Cain worked the soil and Abel tended the flocks. So Cain was an agricultural farmer and Abel was a cattle farmer. Genesis 4 tells us that during the course of time, Cain gave God of his fruits. He gave God some of his vegetables or fruits that he had farmed. And we are told that Abel gave of his first fruits, his firstborn lamb. Okay, scripture tells us that God looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but he did not look with favor upon Cain and his offering. And for a very long time, I didn't quite understand that. I thought, Lord, that's so unfair. You know, just because Cain was one type of farmer and Abel was another type of farmer, why is that? You know, I didn't understand until I saw that it was some of the fruits versus first fruits, a very, very big difference, okay? So what's important to note here is that the type of offering of agricultural or of animal nature was of absolute no significance, okay? It doesn't matter what we do. If I'm an accountant, if I'm whatever it may be, if I'm a teacher, whatever I'm doing, it's of no significance because God is not interested in what our offering reveals to him about our work. He's interested in what our offering reveals to him about our heart. What part of our fruit, of our labor, is given to him? God, giving God of our first fruits is an outward, intentional declaration that God is our first. He is our Lord. When we say, Lord, God, you are Lord, that's what when we mean it, that's what we do. We give of our first. We're saying, you are Lord, you are my first. Here is my first. So whether it is our time, our resources, our talents, our abilities in this life, we need to continue to ask ourselves, are we giving God of our firsts, of our some ofs, and possibly some of our leftovers in terms of what we give him? You know, I find with intimacy with time, you know, it's not possible to have intimacy with God without time with God, time alone with God. We don't go on a date night with our husband and someone else. And if we want to have a decent date now, we don't go to a rowdy place where all we can hear is other people chatting all around us. We go to a time where we can hear one another and we can speak. Same with God. We need time alone. These are wonderful times. We've got to be together as a body. We come together as a corporate body and we worship together and we hear the word together and we encourage together and we pray together. But We've got to be alone with God to hear from God and to receive from God. Otherwise, what are we giving of people? What am I giving of myself? What am I giving if I'm meeting with people and I haven't met with God? I'm going to be limited to what I have inside of me, and it will run dry. The life of God, if it flows through me, will be life to them, and that life will be to others, and there's this continual reproduction and multiplication of his kingdom. I've always had this picture of, someone told me it once, where you have a glass, and we've got the rocks in our lives, and we've got the sand. And so often, sand just will itself just fill up that cup. And now we come to go and put those rocks, those big things, those important things in our lives, and we want to put them in, and there's no space, because we only have 24 hours a day, and we have to sleep and eat and shower. Sometimes we have to take a step back and say, what are the rocks in my life? Have my cup, I put those things in, you put them in your diary, and everything else must fill the rest of it. Otherwise, you are not going to get to the rocks in your life. Okay, I don't find myself just sitting alone quietly in my house, by the way, with three kids, with a Bible in front of me, or worship going, and me abiding in his presence. Okay, it doesn't happen. In fact, you know, I have to move heaven and earth sometimes, feels like it. But I must say, that's something that Ian and I are very, very strong on. We value the time that we each have with the Lord. Because I know that if Ian spends time with God, my family, well, firstly, it's what we're called to do, and it's what we want to do, it's what we were made to do. Secondly, for him to grow and to walk into everything God has for him, he needs to be spending time alone. For our family and for everybody else, God needs to be, and Ian needs to be spending time with God alone. So we release each other in that, and we do a bit of a tag team, and we say, okay, my love, the time is this now, and one of us will go into the office, the other one will look after the children, and so. So just to encourage one another, let's value each other's time with God. And if we're seeing that our spouse or our, whoever it may be in our lives is not getting there, help them. And just say, do you want some time alone? Because some people just feel that they can't make the time. And actually, other things are more important. And we need to help and value people in that and help them to understand that, actually, no, I value your time with the Lord because it's the most important thing. And so we help each other with that. Worship, I think, is a key as well, I must say, in my own life. Just having words washed over my mind and my heart. People that have sat before the Lord and they have received a seed of a word and music, and they've created something of beautiful fruit with his kingdom life in it that we can literally surrender ourselves to and allow his spirit just to wash over us. And I think it's an amazing gift that we have, and that God is using people in worship and in music and in creative ways to feed all of us with fruit, wonderful fruit with his kingdom seed in it that brings life. So on a personal side, fruitlessness in my life, or fruit without seed in it, and fruit with seed in it. Well, fruitlessness, if I believe what the word says, is every word and deed that I've ever done before I got saved, which was in 2002. And it can be offensive. We can think, well, surely this is what I did here and what I said here and all that had something of value. Well, outside of Jesus, it doesn't. And so it's easy for me to explain to you about fruitfulness. Everything I did up until 2002 May. Because thinking any more of our fruit produced before we met Jesus is diminishing our need for a Savior, diminishing the power of the cross in our lives. And that's the truth. If we think we can bring anything towards God outside of him, it's not true. Okay? In the nicest possible way. Fruit without his seed in it versus fruit with his seed in it. And when I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of examples of something I've done that didn't have his seed in it and things that I've done that may have had his seed in it. And I thought about it, and actually, I think you only realize fruit without seed in it once you've produced fruit with seed in it. Up to that point, you actually don't know. And well, that's personally for me. Now, for me, once I've started to start to look at this, I thought, what would I change about what I'm doing, how I'm living, what I'm doing? And actually, there's not a lot about what the things that I would change. What I've realized is it's the life behind it, the reason behind it, the heart motive behind it. The things that I'm doing, I believe God in general has spoken and said to us to do. We don't have to hear from the Lord to go and pray for the sick. Okay, we've heard that. We don't have to hear from the Lord to be generous and to give. God does not have to speak to us about those things. We read it in the Word. That's who he is, and that's who we are. Okay, there are some specific things that God may ask you to do, okay, to go and relocate somewhere, or to do something that is outside of, it's not just a calling for everyone. Abraham's calling was for Abraham, not for anyone else. Okay, Joseph's calling was for Joseph. So those are specific things he may say. But what I realize is that I want to be doing these things from God's heart, from having abided in him. When I'm doing something, I want to have his heart for the situation. When I give, I don't want to give out of compulsion. Okay, so I'm not going to stop giving, but what I'm going to do is make sure that I get before the Lord so that when I give, it is given in faith. That's the difference, because that has his life in it, and that's from him, versus give because actually it's the right thing to do and it's expected of me. Much, much, much of my life has been about doing things because it's the right thing to do. I feel like I know what's the right thing to do, and it's expected of me. But that has no life in it. It's just works. Works without faith are dead. But you can't have faith without works. Otherwise, what is your faith? Faith has to outwork itself into something. Okay, so that's where I think it all ties in, and it's such a beautiful picture from Genesis to Revelations about seed, about maturity, about fruit, and it's got that faith in it. It's got, the Lord has spoken, I'm going to do it. Not, I'm doing it because I feel obligated. Someone's watching me, that's why I'm going to give. You know what? That 100 rand will last 100 rand. Let's say if you, we're passing around the offering and you feel a compulsion to give because someone's there and you want to feel like you're, or give for that reason. That 100 rand will be spent on 100 rand's worth of value. If you have the heart to say, Lord, you've been generous to me. Everything I have is yours. I want to give something of that. Let me tell you, that 100 rand will multiply in its effects. And same with our prayers. Let's not just pray things because that's the right thing to pray. That prayer will last as long as what you've asked for will, you know, if we pray in faith, knowing God, you've spoken it, and there's faith with that, that's where there's the life of God. So I feel that there are three responses this morning. When God has spoken, there's always a response needed. Okay, we don't hear, and that's why I want us to make sure that that if you feel the Lord has spoken to you in any area this morning, that you're going to take God seriously. You're going to say, I'm going to take that word, I'm going to plant it in fertile soil in my heart, I'm going to pray over it, I'm going to worship over it, I'm going to read the word over it, and you're going to grow it, and it's going to start to produce branches and fruit with your life in it, and people are going to eat of that, and so on, and the kingdom of God is going to come.